This NBA season, make every three-pointer, alley-oop, and buzzer beater even more exciting with FanDuel. You can bet on everything from first baskets and number of dunks to which player will drain the most threes. Or stack your bets with the same-game parlay for a shot to win even bigger. It's quick, easy, and you'll get your winnings fast. So download the app today and see why we're North America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-866-531-2600 or visit connectsontario.ca.
Hey, that's really, really bad. 123-89. The Raptors, or should I say the Raptors 905, lost to the Sacramento Kings. And did so in a fashion where the amount of injuries they had and, like, players who weren't available, obviously RJ Barrett, the reason is known. Emmanuel Quickley, also for personal reasons, not around the team. The best players on the team each have broken hands. There's just a lot of stuff happening with these Raptors, and they have a lot of, I don't know. It's not a very talented team right now, and they lose. In fact, they get shellacked, and do so in a way that, like, Bruce Brown is your starting point guard, which dictates that you play a lot of delay action. You play on the high post with Kelly Olynyk to try and create a little bit of rim pressure through that means. And since you're running basically delay action, five out offense, out of the corner, out of the high post, you are imitating or mimicking how the Sacramento Kings achieve their beautiful offense that is supplied by Domantas Sabonis and a litany of guards who can drive, pass, and shoot, and do so at a rapid pace. And then you have the Raptors trying to do that on the other side of things. And what that really equals out to is just, like, really bad basketball. They didn't stand a chance. This was one of those games where if the Raptors wanted to look at this, you need every player well above their head as far as, like, how they're performing. Better than the 32% from three. You got to rely on that, like, that March Madness formula where you're like, I don't know, guys. We might be able to swing this one. We shoot the ball well. Get the ball up. Let's see how this goes. And that obviously wasn't the case. The Kings are a fantastic team. Sabonis now has, I think, set the record for most double-doubles in a row or something associated with that. In fact, he had a triple-double, 26, 17, and 10. The Raptors had nothing for him. The Raptors have had nothing for any front court member of the opposing team for quite some time. And what that means, it does not mean that Kelly Olynyk is not worthy of playing in the NBA or anything like that. It doesn't mean he's not holding up his end of the bargain. This is not what he was asked to do. Nobody would ask Kelly Olynyk to hold down the front court against all the best teams and against, like, the rigors of that in and out day and night in the NBA. No Jakob, no Scotty, no hope. Emmanuel's gone. RJ is gone. Like, are we just vibes out there, man? And how good are those vibes? You know, they battled in some games. They have battled. I think the battle died in this one. And I don't even blame them necessarily, right? Like, they have been the worst team heading into every game for forever. And they've held some, and they've been losing games by like 7 points, 11 points, battling. Coco says it means it's a team sport and our team is very sparse. Chelsea Light says, are there even vibes? LOL. Hopefully we achieve better vibes as teammates tomorrow in the media game, Chelsea. GPWW says, man, I'm so glad I got fried before the game. I don't even know what happened. We lost, though. Honestly, brother, that's a pretty good approach. I don't get fried before games or anything like that, but I can definitely empathize with kind of like desensitizing yourself to what you're seeing. And honestly, since both these teams approach the game with a similar approach, it would be weird to watch this game high because you'd see both teams doing like the same actions. It's just one team is good at it and the other team is bad at it. Blake Murphy says, if the vibes aren't better tomorrow, you're benched. This is the type of descent I'm playing under. OG3 says, Samson F, baby, the F is for feckless. This was feckless hoops. But I don't even blame him for being feckless. Grady Dick, Ochai Agbaji, Kelly Olynyk, Gary Trent Jr., Bruce Brown, Javon Freeman-Liberty, Jamias Ramsey, Jordan Wara, Jalen McDaniels, Jontay Porter, who left the game shortly after being sick, and Mohamedou Gee. Labor hero? Garrett Temple couldn't get in? Come on! What's going on? Like, at that point. Anyway, the battle died, is what I mean to say. They turned the ball over, what, like 22 times, leading to 33 points? Maybe it was 21. They didn't, like, Emmanuel Quickley was stitching everything together. There's a couple players on this team, like, who help keep the semblance of the offense together. And Kelly Olynyk plus one of, like, RJ or Emmanuel, that was helping them maintain some level of, like, structure offensively so that they don't turn the ball over constantly. And so that, like, they have some sort of heliocentric presence to rotate around. Okay? That's what we're seeing. Now, Bruce Brown is your point guard. Kelly Olynyk is not able to just link up with him as opposed to Emmanuel or RJ or Scotty with a litany of different guys. There's just not a baseline to operate from. Let's talk about something that, like, this is a good question from Will Smith. Quote, is Grady's struggles recently more just getting more defensive attention or is it fatigue? He's certainly getting more defensive attention. He is playing more on-ball possessions, where he is overextended, for sure. He is not as comfortable keeping his dribble alive against Diggs as a primary, as being a paid attention to, like the primary action. So basically the difference between Grady, where he's thriving, and let's say comes down the lane, does the shoulder check a la Paul George, little push dribble, throw a lob, is like the team is kind of loading up on the guys like RJ and Scotty on the strong side of the court, or the weak side of the court. So he gets to operate with a little bit more room. Games like this, let's say it's Jamias Ramsey on the weak side, they come and they dig. They're like, we're going to put pressure on your dribble and we're going to do all that kind of stuff. And Grady, having his dribble pressured, is leading to a lot of turnovers, and not good types of turnovers, like overwhelmed turnovers. Not the type of, like, I consider them like really like high reward turnovers, high risk, high reward turnovers. Scotty has a lot of them, which I think is a good indicator. It's like you're trying something. Like, if this pass had connected, there's a layup on the other side. The trouble with these turnovers from Grady is that, like, he's picking up his dribble and he's passing the ball back up the court. So, like, if it gets picked off, there's momentum heading the other way. He's bailing out above the break. He's not creating that pressure towards the rim. Whereas a lot of Scotty's turnovers are, like, he's trying to move somebody towards a layup. That kind of stuff. Now, Grady does not have to be Scotty. This is stuff he'll get better at over time. And even for the people who are very high on Grady, like myself, the expectation is definitely not that he's going to come in and run primary actions at the NBA level. He is just like, he's an off-ball player who has like some like, ooh, empty side on-ball chops, can make the read down low when all the digs come from like in front of him and the plays in front of him. There's nobody helping from, it's like your same side action. All good. That's what we're seeing, man. I like that stuff. As far as like being like a high pick and roll player and getting downhill and reading like what the back line of the defense is doing, what the weak side zone is doing, and also reading what like the dig is doing, the guy at the nail, he's not there yet. And he just turned 20. He's not supposed to be there yet. Nobody expected him to be there yet. But everyone is gone or injured or just like whatever the hell on this team. And you can't be upset about it because you look at the team. I feel like I'm just like, damn, these guys have to go out there every night, bust their humps. They get paid really well. Good for them, honestly. So don't feel too bad, I guess. But they got to go out there, bust their humps, do their job. And that's a tough job. I don't go out and do my job knowing that somebody's better at it than me. Like, I see the JJ Redick, LeBron James podcast. They start bringing out the paper, breaking down plays. Actually, maybe I'm getting a little depressed. I'm like, damn. I'm no longer the guy with the paper and the pen, you know? I might get a little down on myself. It's just, everyone here is probably in chat listening. If you haven't played basketball, you've played something. You've gone up against it. You've realized somebody was better than you at something. And like, damn, that's tough. And this Sacramento team was way better at the same style of basketball. I'm not disappointed in Grady, honestly. This is like, he's hitting the rookie wall. He's playing a ton of minutes. He's clearly, like, the legs in his jumper is dissipating a little bit. It's not hanging in, maybe. And he's 1 for 8. He's struggling with all the extra attention. He throws a sick, sick English pass that's like parting the Red Sea, you know, just bounces, rolls back directly into Bruce Brown's path, takes it for a layup. People on the NBA Twitter account were calling it a travel because they don't know what a gather step is. A gather step isn't just for a layup, okay? It was a good play. We got one of them. He hit a corner three. He's apparently 4th in the NBA as far as, like, corner three percentage for the however the past long. I don't know. They showed it on the broadcast. That's all well and good. Ochai went 5 for 10. As Coco points out, Wara had that one moment. It's that great dribble move where you go between your own legs. Oh, wait, that's the Chris Paul move. But anyway, it's that when you split, you come and you see somebody coming and you go between your own legs because your leg acts as a barrier towards their, they're trying to get at your dribble. And you go between your legs, gather on the other side. And what Wara did was great because he was just like, went straight up into this big hook shot. And that was like really great play. I remember I split a double like that one time, like the hedge and pick and roll. Like they go too wide and you split between your legs. I know Dame has done it a few times. You feel like God when you do that. It's powerful stuff. OG3 says, could Grady be the best passer of all the movement shooting role guys in the league? I don't know. I don't think about this often. But like he has significant passing chops for what he does and kind of the role he's put into. Sure. Luca says, Samson, call your stat line for the media game. I couldn't possibly begin to guess the stat line because, one, Blake is constantly threatening to bench me, which would not be in his best interest. Obviously, Blake, if you're listening. He's constantly threatening to bench me because of my back's ass. I don't know what Jamma wants to play like. I don't know how long we're playing, so I don't even know. And I don't know how competitive it's going to be, right? Like, I don't know. I haven't played on the Scotiabank before. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm excited about. And S is going to be on the other team. Lewis is going to be on the other team. I'm going to lock him up, man. That's easy. No problem. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know what it's going to be. It's just like basketball with friends, right? Nesta says, any dunk attempts? No. I haven't dunked since the pandemic. I've been doing jump training. I'm not back yet. I think like maybe I'm down to like closer to like between 165 and 170, which is around what I was when I dunked. But yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I'm older than I was, honestly. I know like 28 isn't the end of like your prime or whatever, but I'm not as springy as I was when I was like 24. Rest in peace, no doubt. Rezrov says, my guy Oren's going to dunk on you. That'd be sick. I've played with Oren once before. A resilient driving game. And yeah, Oren's the best. If Oren could dunk, given his stature, do you know how sick that would be? I'd lose my mind, man. That would be the coolest thing ever. Biggie35 says, Grady is a support guy, not a star player. He needs stars to maximize his skill set. That's certainly correct. He's way better at operating with advantage and kind of multiplying what other guys are creating. I think that's what it's going to be. Coco says, Will said he'll be very competitive. I guess it just takes one person to like set the tone. I a lot of the people in the game I know very well. Some people I don't know at all. I guess it's just like, I don't know. If somebody starts taking it seriously, then other people do. I guess it goes that way. It's like the All-Star game, except this is like the All-Star game in that it's bad basketball, but there's no talent associated with anybody, you know? I'm looking forward to it, though. I've never played on the Scotiabank Arena floor, and I'm excited about that. Yeah, that's kind of... Prompts Help says, I wonder if Oren has a slow-mo game to match his vibes. No, he's pretty quick, if I remember correctly. Oren's pretty quick. Yeah. If anybody wants scouting reports after the game, I'll be happy to give them out. Yeah. But, whoosh, geez. I mean, Jamias Ramsey, a couple good drives in this game. I think, like, that's nice. Also, Wara had a pretty good game, all things considered. There's some shot making, like 5 of 8 for Jamias Ramsey, 5 of 7 for Wara. It's been some, like, it's some nice shot making, and definitely once the game, like, you know, kind of slows down, you're looking at a sloppier game, and the Kings are like, they're kind of like, do whatever, right? Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Who is the biggest slash tallest media member who will play? I don't know, Dwayne? Maybe Will? It's not that many tall people. Media is not big. Eric Kareen, I guess, maybe too. I'm not sure. Like, the scouting report for anybody is like, you look at who's playing and you're just thinking, your mind is like, who's fit? Because that's like the number one prerequisite usually is like, oh yeah, like you can get up and down the court. That's number one. And then you go from there with basketball skills. But I've seen maybe like 5 or 6 people play. Yeah, I couldn't say. Chelsea asks if Sav is the tallest. Sav isn't the tallest, but she'd be close to the tallest. There's like a clump of people who are like between 6 and 6'2". I think Will is taller than Sav, if I remember correctly. But I'm not sure, to be quite honest. Dwayne, I think, would probably be. I think Blake had said Akil and Dwayne were the respective first overall picks on their teams. Do I feel slighted? Of course. Obviously, I feel slighted. That's ridiculous. But we move. I think that's Josh, Sue, and Phil from Raptors PR who were the GMs who picked the teams or whatever. Yeah. Did I see? You know what I did like in this game? Mohamedou Moji, he went up against everything he could around the rim. And I respect that. Like, he comes in these games, you know, he goes 1 for 6. He's trying to get some shots up. He's trying to get dunks off, quite frankly. He's trying to have these big, long steps to the rim for layups. And that's all good. He's relying on length and trying to be, like, quick. And that's good. I'm glad. That's how he scores at the G League level, of course. But in this game, he wasn't able to affect it offensively. And not even necessarily defensively. But he jumped for everything. That's a wonderful ethic to carry as a player. Is like, I'm going to jump. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Biggie35 says, is there anyone that seems like they would actually be a consistent bench piece of all the folks getting long looks off the 905 squad? I think, like, it was Jonte. Like, I do think that is. I think Javon, he did some stuff with the 905 this year. They were trying to kind of, like, work on his playmaking and mold him into like a point guard, because they were like, well, he's not shooting the hell out of the basketball. He doesn't have a tremendous amount of size. Like, getting a bump in playmaking would help, you know, make you more versatile to make the jump to the league, because he's certainly good enough to be, you know, that guy at the G League level. Like, Javon is like, he's good. It's just like, to hang as a guard in the NBA, you have to be unreal. And that's kind of where we're sitting. Like, Marquise Noel is another one too, right? Like, his skills are unreal. It's just like, at his, you need to hit the genetic lottery. You need to work your tail off. You need to read the game brilliantly. And you need to get lucky kind of too with what team you end up on to get into the back end of the NBA as a guard. So Jonte, despite leaving this game with illness, I don't know if we still consider him like a G League adjacent guy or whatever, since it's just Raptor stuff. But I think Jonte is the guy. I think Jonte is good enough to stick in the league. I think he does early work as a defender. I think he's been able to beat guys to spots, not with quickness, but with how he's reading the game defensively. I think that's a really good indicator. And honestly, like, he shoots the ball well enough. He passes well enough. He probably just needs to. And that's what, if he plays the rest of these games, right, it's going to come down to him making or providing a little bit more of a scoring punch. Like, instead of just getting the ball in the short roll, making a read immediately right away, especially if it's like an above the break three, it's like, use a dribble to get deeper. Maybe you make a floater. Maybe you get deeper and force the bottom guy to step up. It creates, like, maybe it's the guy on the dunker spot open, or maybe it's the guy in the dunker spot draws the rotation so you can go to the corner. You want the corner three instead of above the break, that kind of stuff, right? Will Smith here asks, quote, thoughts on Grange speculating that Jonte won't be back due to them needing more size. I haven't talked to Grange about that. I didn't see that report or anything. If he's at the media game tomorrow, I'll talk to him about it. That's one guy I wish I got to play with Mike big time. I had a really nice conversation with him about the media game when I saw him last week. But yeah, I really want to play with Mike. I'm kind of sad I don't get to, because he played a little bit of college ball too. Yeah, and he's a pretty big guy. Everyone said he could shoot pretty well. So that's, you know, damn. I came here a few years too late. But I don't know, Jonte, the Raptors needing size. I think they have an avenue to size in the offseason if they want it, that they could choose to do instead of. They have money that they can spend, and I don't know how they're going to spend it necessarily. It could go towards the front court or the back court or the wing. So I guess we'll see. But Grange is a lot closer to like high up sources than I am. So if he's hearing stuff and that's like reporting, then I mean, I trust Grange on reporting, sure. Like, I understand there was like a meme that like he said a couple things and then the opposite happened. I understand. It's hard to get stuff right because, like, honestly, the Raptors could have told him, like, this is ironclad, we're doing this. And then they could have done something else. And like, you as a reporter, let's say it comes from the guy, the Raptors guy, the guy who would know, tells you something. Do you believe him and report it? Or do you say, like, I need to hear this from like the opposing GM or something like that? Do you have the avenues to fact check it that way? Or do you say, the guy told me, I'll report it? You know, it's tough to get it right. I'm really impressed the way that, like, now I don't like Woj and Shams type of coverage. I think it's boring and transactional. But from like the perspective of what they're doing behind the scenes, to get that stuff right, that's pretty impressive, because there's a lot of uncertainty in the NBA and especially in like transactions and stuff like that. So yeah. Nesta says, any chance Detroit lets go of Beef Stew? I don't know. He's still on a contract, isn't he? Like, as far as, I guess we're just talking about like acquiring a guy. I mean, maybe. I know Wiseman is a free agent. I've talked about this a little bit before. I think Wiseman, maybe Miami's the best place for his career for him to end up, but I think Wiseman is probably, and this is just my guess, people can feel free to disagree, I estimate he can be one of those guys who you get more than what you pay for. I suspect that's what Wiseman is going to be in. But let me look up Isaiah Stewart to see, because I thought he signed like a 3-year contract or something like that, right? Yeah. Oh, he signed a 5-year contract. So is he gettable? And he'll be paid $15 million over the next 4 seasons. I feel like if they don't hang on to Wiseman, just because like Stewart shooting 38% from 3 this year, I suspect that they view Stewart as an easier player to fit next to Durant. And they really like Durant. And the Detroit brass and people around Detroit really like Durant. And for a good reason. So that's kind of where I am on that. I think the big that is gettable from Detroit is James Wiseman, who I know is considered somewhat of a controversial figure because there's polarized conversations around him online for sure. But I think that Wiseman, he's got some goods on him. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Slomo says everyone should like Durant. Agreed. Durant is pretty awesome. I think his passing is really underrated still at this point. He obviously is a pretty good physical presence. There's like, he can go up and get it to give you a different look in the pick and roll. His screen craft is getting better. I don't know if I really like how he works out of like the dribble handoff stuff, but he's young. That's like Domantas Sabonis. It took like 7 years for him to really transform into, you know, a beast in that role. So yeah, Durant is really good. If I'm in Detroit, I know some people still like are very Wiseman pilled and like he should be the guy, but Durant deserves a lot of positivity over there. Yeah. Biggie35 says, I don't see Wiseman and Smith being anything more than what they are. I'd rather get a center in the draft and see if we can develop a starter. Maybe. I think, I have no idea what the Raptors are looking for in the draft. And my earnest hope is that they're looking for best player available. I don't know about center or anything like that. Jakob Poeltl is like, He can hold down the center position provided his finger is not dislocated, but located correctly on his hand, and you work from that. And like, hopefully he can be kind of like a mentor to the next guy, whether that's somebody they sign, scrap heap, etc., whatever the hell it has to be. But yeah, I guess we'll see. It's going to be an interesting, how it shakes out will be very interesting for the Raptors. They can go a lot of different ways. I feel like that's going to be the end of the podcast. We're kind of just shooting the shit, honestly. I hope the audio listeners enjoyed that. My demands to be the first overall pick. while there's people in here, make sure to like the video. It helps promote it via the algorithm. If you want to subscribe to the channel, hell yeah, that's very good. I think we're getting closer to 11,000 subscribers. And on top of that, if you want to subscribe to the website, it's what keeps us alive and allows us to do what we do as Raptors Republic continues to forge ahead as independent media in the market and remains a very important place in the space. That's kind of what it is. Got blown out by the Kings. Them's the breaks. I'll be back here in a couple of days to talk about OKC, and I don't expect that game to go very well. However, I will be able to give you the dirt on all the media members. You're going to know who's trash. You're going to know who's nice. I'm just kidding. I'd never frame it like that. But I will frame everybody positively, but you'll know who's the best. All right. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. And whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.